Okay, hold on. Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Scatter Chatter. I'm your boy, Jess Ray. When you guys are listening to us, please feel free to join us on Facebook on the Scatter Chatter fan page. It's facebook.com, Scatter Chatter Podcast on Facebook. Hit us up there for any comments, concerns, and any possible show topics. And also, we're looking for more guests to have on in different areas of talk time. Tonight we have a special guest with us, comedian Derek Ellis. He just did his first feature film, so I'll let him introduce himself. Hello, Derek, how you doing?
Oh, how you doing, man? How you doing, everybody? Yeah, man. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah.
I've been work with Derek, and Derek has done his first feature. So, Derek, let's kind of just go into it. All right. So, how long have you been a comedian, and tell us the venues that you've done?
I've been doing stand up over 30 years, man. I've been around USA. I've worked the punchlines, the improvs. I was regular at the Hollywood Improv on Melrose on Monday night. They had a show. D-Ray was hosting, and I've done, I was regular there, Comedy Store regular. Had a Tuesday night show they did at the Comedy Store. So, but I've done, you know, the Chicago Jokes and Notes. I've done a lot of clubs, man, a lot of comedy clubs.
So,
yeah.
What made you decide to become a comedian?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The J Spot, yeah, for sure. But what made you decide to become a comedian? When was it you're just like, this is for me?
Well, I got interested when I was like 15, man. I was listening to like Richard Pryor stuff back then, and that was one of the guys that inspired me. And I caught that bug at like 15, and so my first time going on stage, I was like 17 and a half years old.
Okay,
in Houston, Texas, yeah.
So from there, okay, I've heard about this thing I want to mention, the Chitlin Circuit. Did you do the full Chitlin Circuit?
Oh, yeah, because back then, you know, blacks, well, they wasn't really getting into the punchlines and the improv. Them were what you call mainstream clubs. So they wasn't allowing, you know, most of them was Caucasian and was doing those clubs, and blacks wasn't really getting in them. As long as you had to be like the top black comic, that you know, like back then, like Jimmy Walker and all of them was doing it, J.J. Walker, but guys like that. But you know, in my era, I wasn't able, you know, when I first started. So we did the Chitlin Circuit, which you did a nightclub that did comedy one night out of the week. And, you know, it was like they call it the Chitlin Circuit. So it wasn't a comedy club. It was a nightclub that did a comedy night. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, a lot of comics we did, that's where we honed our craft in the Chitlin Circuit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, I got a question. What is your worst story, heckling story, being on stage?
Well, man, I had a guy heckle me and you know, I just God just got out of hand, and so you know, I end up, I just basically, you know, kind of shut him down. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I basically kind of shut him down. But
hello,
yeah,
got a little technical difficulties with Derek.
Hello,
see what's going on.
Hello.
Can you hear me? Hello?
think we had a little technical difficulties with Derek. Maybe something happened with the phone. It always happens. We're doing audio. Audience, just be patient with us. Hang tight. Hang on. I think we have a little bit of technical difficulty here.
There. I'm sorry. You had a little technical difficulty. Okay, so can you repeat that again? I'm sorry. What was the heckling story?
We were talking about my worst heckling experience. And like I said, I had a guy just got out of hand. He got upset. And so I, you know, ultimately, it's like we were going to fight. But I got him so hard. I jones on him so hard. After the show, he ended up giving me a hug. You know what I mean? I say, damn, man, you wanted to kill me. Now you say, man, I'm so sorry, man, but you got me, you know. So, because this girl and everybody was laughing at him. But it's like, but rarely do I experience heckling because, you know, I tell stories and so I, and then I got to come back. You know, you got to be able to be quick off your feet as a comic because you could have somebody that want to disrupt the show. So you got to be able to respond quick. Because when you allow them to take the show from you, then that's the worst thing you could do.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So I want to dig into that just real quick. So basically, do you have a comeback set just in case somebody tries to come at you, or you guys just be quick on your feet? Kind of like you just got to know.
No, comeback set. It ain't like I write a set. I'm fortunate. I'm natural, so I could. Comeback is just how the creativity happens in the moment for me. I ain't got to be had nothing planned or right. I could just come up, God give me the ability to just come up off the dome, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't, you know, some people do have a certain comeback they're going to use for when they have situations like that. When they have a heckler, they have a particular written way that they have it so they can be prepared for it, but I don't.
You just go in. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
I'm talking my damn head, man.
Part, you've been writing, you have a series of novels, or what do you call them? What kind of books are they?
I started out writing self-help books, and then ultimately I ventured in short novels. Novella and short stories, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So, where did that evolution happen? Like from comedian to doing, or were you just doing that on the side as you were doing your stand-up?
No. It just came about. Life had. The first book I wrote about, you know, adversity, and coming out of, and so it
okay.
was, so I was on the self-help. That self-help bug. And so then later on, I said, I'm a comic. I tell stories on stage. Why not I transform that into a book? And so that's how I just kind of started. It just happened. It wasn't nothing that I planned on doing. It just came about. But in the process of coming about, I realized that as a comic, we have to be well-rounded if we want to sustain in the business.
Okay.
You got to be able to just tell jokes. Because right now, during the pandemic, you can't tell jokes, so how you going to make money? So you got to be well-rounded. You got to be able to do more than one thing.
Right, absolutely. Okay, so
mm-hmm.
we'll talk about the film. The film is Bernie Problems. Before we get into the actual nitty-gritty of the film, and how it worked. for the film nerds and the short film people that really want to get into film, do you know what kind of camera did you use to shoot? And then do you know what lenses you used to shoot it at for the people that, the geeks that are out there that really want to know how it works?
Of course.
Did we lose you again? Seem to be having some sound issues with Derek. Just bear with us, audience. Yeah, we're
there. Yeah. Can you hear me?
So, no, I can hear you now. So the equipment, I was asking, do you know what kind of camera did you use?
For Barney's problems, we used a Sony PXWF S5, and we used two cameras. We used a Sony A7 S3, and we used prime lenses and to shoot this film.
So, did you go? How many different lenses did you use?
Well, we use basically 7-8 different, you know, because the prime lens, it kind of slows things down, give it that where you can really focus on it. And we use zoom lenses. We use a lot of different wide. Well, we could get a great wide shot. So we use, you know, but that's basic. The lens we use was prime lenses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So organizing the film on set, like what was life like on the set from like day one to the wrap? Like, what is your experience? What's your take on it? You're the director. So what is your take on it?
Yeah. Actually, I produced it, I wrote it, and I directed. So my take was like, you know, I was doing a lot of producing too, making sure the cast, although I had a production assistant, but I was doing a lot of on her, making sure we had the cast. I was like Spike Lee when he did his first movie, She Gotta Have It. I was like doing everything. I was goddamn craft services. I was doing everything, man. So, but the mood of the first day or shoot for me was like exciting, man. It was like, you know, I'm really doing it, you know. And it was like a good feeling until I realized that I would be working 16 hours. Then I was like, oh my God, this is a lot of work. But everybody knew their lines. I was fortunate. You know, and the talent that I cast, because I cast the movie too. You know, they were on point.
Okay, so you weren't working with a full typical crew like you would think. You had the production assistant, your script coordinator, all the
I had a production assistant. I had a script supervisor. But for the most part, I even had craft services. I was just, you know, being humorous. I had a girl that was allocated that. I had a makeup. I had a makeup lady for 10 days. So I had I just didn't have an AD. I didn't have an assistant director. But other than that, man, you know, I had basically what you have to shoot a movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you being the producer, the director, and all the other roles, right? What were your key challenges that you had, like when you were doing the film, that you wish you would have rethought or known better going into it? What were the main challenges? Like maybe your top five.
Well, basically, the time it takes to just set up and shoot one shot. I mean, how many? That's a process, you know. That might be a hour process just setting up to get the right angles with the lighting, making the camera angle. That was a big thing, you know, for me, that I didn't realize that, because I was thinking, man, we can hurry up and set this up and we can shoot it, but it didn't work like that. It's a process, you know, and so that's why they say, you know, when you shoot a film, normally, because we were doing like 12 pages a day, we were doing like 10 to 12 pages a day, so it was like,
wow,
man. Yeah, so we were really putting it in, man. It was like, so I learned, that was one of the things, and sometime I had actors a little too early on the set, you know, because like I said, because sometimes shots took longer, because we were doing like, man, we were doing a lot of takes, you know, because, I was trying to get, we wanted to get the best look, you know, for the film, so we were doing like 20 takes sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. So those are one of the things I could have worked on better. Whereas I didn't have the artist just sitting around that extra hour or two. You know what I mean? Before they were scheduled to shoot their scene. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I know this. I'm pretty sure no one has actually asked, but how do you think your talent and your crew like viewed you as a director and a producer?
Say that again.
How do you think your talent viewed you as a director? Like, what do you think they would say? Like, working with you was like.
Oh well, they a lot. Of course, I'm a comic, so they laughed a lot. I had them laughing. Even though me and the main character, we argued. Me and the cinematographer, but it was creative energy. So,
okay.
So, you know, so I would think that, you know. And I was learning a lot from them because a lot of those, like my lead actor, he's been in over 40 films. That's William L. Johnson. So he gave me a lot of info on terms of how I could do things, you know, as well.
Okay.
And then
and that went
my cinematographer, director of photography, Bishop, very smart guy. He's been in the film business over 20-some years.
Oh, wow.
So I had
That's
people,
a long time.
I had experience. I didn't have no amateur. We had a pro team, you know.
Right.
If anybody new to this would be me, I would be the newest member because this, I've normally been telling jokes and writing books, but I never wrote a screenplay and then directed it, you know. So I was kind of the new guy, you know.
Okay. So you let the experts do the work and you just kind of like follow their lead.
Because I studied though too. I did study, so I wouldn't be like a idiot. You know what I mean? I didn't want to, because in Hollywood, you don't want to seem like you don't know. Even if you don't know, you better act like you kind of know. You know, because they, you know, they chat them out. They get to chat, man. It's just dumb. You know, so you have to play the game. It's all an illusion. It's all a game. But the thing about it though, film. When you making feature film, producers, it's a level of respect that people expect out of you, as well as a level of expertise. You know, so so they expect that you should know what you're doing. You know what I mean? For me, I was able to surround myself around people that knew it, so it wouldn't make me look, you know, and the people that wasn't so bougie, where they were like, man, because, you know, it'd be people like, man, I don't want to work with you. You know, I didn't have that problem, you know.
Okay,
you know, I can't work with you. You don't know what you're doing. No, I didn't have that problem.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
All right, so the film, Bernie Problems. Can the viewer or somebody that's into like films, what should they expect from the film? Like, what kind of a story are you telling?
Well, this is about a struggling alcoholic addict who turned his life around and become this prolific motivational speaker. And in the process of doing it, he finds the love of his life, you know, because the person, it's about people helping this guy get back into the thick of thing, and in doing that, he finds out that he has a purpose, and it's in purpose to inspire, motivate,
So can we say that it's kind of like it's maybe family oriented or just community oriented film?
It's raw. I ain't no director. You ain't finna be looking at Mickey Mouse with me. You know, I mean, no disrespect to Mickey Mouse here, but this is one of them films that, you know what I mean? Because when I look at filmmaking, man, I like controversial. I like to see drugs in film. I like to see naked women. That's the kind of shit I like, man. So
kind of like the 1960s or 50s black exploitation film type of stuff, or what are we
not
saying?
Black, it's not black exploitation. No, this is about this film right here. Like I said, it's about it shows how you could people. The message you can get from the movie is that although you go through problems, you don't have to stay stuck in a problem. You can come out.
Okay.
You can come out of adversity and get back into the thick of things, you know. Or if you didn't know what you can come out of a problem and find that you have potential up the line, up the way. There is potential for you, you know. You can learn from negativity, and you can produce positivity from learning from negativity.
Okay.
You follow what I mean?
I got you 100%.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
This is a major undertaking. It's a major project. So okay. After you've done this whole project, what kind of advice would you give to somebody that wants to take on film themselves? Like, what would you tell them to do, or for them to do their own project the way that you did it, or better?
Be prepared to work long hours. You know what I mean? I mean, the easy part for me, and not to brag, but writing it was the easy part for me because I knew I knew it. I lived some of it. I lived some of this. I lived some of Bernie. You understand what I mean?
Right.
And so I was able to get the pages out of me because I lived it, you know. And that's one thing I tell people who are interested in doing screenplays, writing, is that it's very easy if you could have lived and experienced it. It's difficult when you got to create some not knowing no information about it. You understand what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So when you kind of lived it, you can write about it. That's like my movies. All of, because I'm writing another movie now. I'm writing another movie. Hopefully, I'm gonna try to get out about 4 to 5 movies. My legacy. You know what I mean. And hopefully, my kids, my grandkids can eat off of. You know, but you know, it's like Quentin Tarantino. He only done 9 movies so far. 9 to 10. So but they're great movies. You know what I mean? So I want to do I don't want to keep like Tyler Perry. Got a lot of movies out there. I like Tyler Perry. All of the movies I ain't like, but that's him. That's money. But I want to just do a limited amount of movies. But they good films. So you can look at them 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now. When I'm gone, you know, can still that could be like relevant. You know what I mean?
Right, so side question.
It could be relevant,
So two side questions. One, after you do maybe your second film, have you considered mentorship or actually producing a film that might be written by a younger film person or you know, another black film director?
Well, I tell you what, I thought about producing my third film because the second film I'm going to write and produce it, but the third one, I want to. I'm going to hire this writer. He's not young, but he's a comic, but he's an author too. He's written a lot of books, and so I want him to write this third film, which is a comedy. I come up with the story will be by me. but he gonna write the screenplay.
Okay.
It's like you know, you give him a synopsis, and then he write around what you told him you wanted to be about, you know. So
okay.
that'll be the third film I do. The first two films that I'm writing, it's because I want a newcomers and inspired filmmakers and screenplay writers, let them know that don't be afraid to put what's in your head, even if it may sound stupid, on paper, because what you'll find yourself, the more you write, the more you see things will come together.
Oh, okay. That's a good thing.
You know,
because
you write
advice.
That first thought, you put that first thought, that first line in a screenplay, you'd be like, man, this sounds stupid. But if you keep on writing that character, keep on giving that character some color, give that character some, you know, some excitement, some eroticness or some sexuality, you'll find yourself coming up with more information. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if you understand what I'm saying is that, you know, because, you know, I didn't go to school to write film. I mean, write books or write movies. I self-taught myself, you know.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of times people go, I went to college, I got a college degree, but I'm saying a lot of times people go to college in a subject and they don't, and then when they get to being realistic about it, they'll look at it one way, where you can look at making movies all different kind of ways. It ain't no one way you do it, you know.
Right.
You know, because when you sometimes school will structure you that it has to go this way. It has to go this way. It's like being a comedian. You know, you know, you tell it's an opening, it's a middle, and it's an end, right? But you know,
right.
you could do it all different. You could. I didn't tell my best joke at the end, at the beginning. You know what I mean? Because I wanted to grab the crowd immediately, because I knew it was one of them difficult crowds. I was in St. Louis, and they'll throw shit at you. So I had to give them my best shit up front. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then kind of babysit them into enjoying the rest of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So in film, it's just. You know, don't get me wrong, schooling is great. I mean, you use a technical and this and that, but when I'm as a movie goer, as a movie maker, I'm trying to allow you to enjoy and understand what my story is, not nobody else. I ain't trying to write like Quentin Tarantino. I'm not trying to do a movie like Spike Lee. I'm not trying to do a movie like Tyler Perry. I'm trying to do Derek Ellis. Movies, you know. So I want to have a style in my movie where you can identify with a Derek Ellis film project.
You know. Okay. Yeah, so you have your own.
Yeah.
I get it. So you have your own style. Because like Quentin Tarantino, Spike Lee, Anton Fuqua, and I forget what his name, Coogler, they all have a different style. The guy that did the Marvel film, I forget his name. So they all have their style. So if you're trying to create your own niche for your own style, the Derek Ellis like film legacy, so to speak.
Exactly. You got it. You hit the nail on the head. Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm. So with the Bernie Problems film, how can people see? I know that you have some promotion going on for September filming in L.A.
September.
Let's talk about. Okay, where can they get tickets at, and where is it going to be at?
Okay, you can get tickets online you go to blackhollywoodevents.ticketleak.com. That's blackhollywoodevents.ticketleak.com. You know, T-I-C-K ETLEAP.com, and you can get that online. Oh. So it's blackhollywoodevent.ticketleap.com. You can get that online. Or if you're in the L.A. area and you like to get some your tickets in hand, you can call 818-747-5608 and give the amount of tickets you would like, and the tickets can be delivered to you. As long as you live in the Los Angeles area, Hollywood area. Los Angeles, Hollywood, Compton don't matter, huh?
How much are the tickets going for?
$20. The tickets are $20.
Okay. And is the do you know what the seating is so far, or where are we at as
yeah,
far as like the
we limited seating, so the first showing ultimately we'll have two showings, but the first showing we're at right now we can sell 90 more tickets.
Okay.
And that'll be you know, at capacity. Because
No, go ahead. Continue. Unless you finish your thought, and I'll ask.
Yeah, because the cast members, they're going to be there too because of the screening. So for public tickets, I only have 90 more left for the public.
Okay. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, since we're in this whole, like, the COVID situation, like, what is the safety procedures with the event?
That's why we can't have that many, because of the social distancing. The club normally seat like 3-something, but now he's got it set up where it's only 125 people that could be distant, social distant, and also a mask is required.
Okay.
And
right.
We'll be taking temperatures and temperatures be taken. So yeah. So
the
all that
will
you know,
be taken upon entry. Coming in.
Oh yeah, we're gonna shoot you with the gun. You know, and if you bought a ticket and you got a temperature, we just give you your money back right there.
Oh, okay.
Until you know, I'm sorry, you had to catch it when it's out everywhere.
Okay, so that was brings me to my second question. Where is it gonna be digitally distributed? Like, are you gonna be like on Netflix, Hulu, or is there an independent?
Well, I'm that's right now. We're keeping that quiet right now.
Oh, okay. All right, but it's in the works though.
Yeah, yeah. Once you'll know, because you'll be seeing press about it and this and that. This right here is for the people get to see it before everybody else sees. So it's kind of like a sneak peek.
Oh, okay. All right. So, wow, that's a lot.
And it's a red carpet, so you get to meet the cast, and, you know, you get to take pictures with the cast and everything.
So will there be, like, a spoken, like, thing before? Because I know, like, at some movie premieres, there's,
No, we're not going to be doing those. It's going to be, like, red carpet event, like, taking pictures, bam, bam, bam. Then we're going to introduce the film. And then after the film, if it's a crowd outside, we're going to exit where you guys go the opposite way so we can let the other crowd in and see the second showing.
Okay. And
so the benefits of coming to the first show is that you get to do the red carpet, you get to see the cast, take a picture with them. Yeah.
Okay. So let me ask you this. If people can't get a hold of the link, can they DM you through your Instagram or hit you up on your website?
Yeah, and tell me how many tickets they want. Yeah.
Okay, and you'll figure out how to, like, get the tickets to them or whatnot.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Okay. All right.
See, I'm doing Hollywood films, but I'm not Hollywood. I'm a regular guy, man. So that's one thing I want to separate myself from other filmmakers, not to say that they're not – other filmmakers that feel that they're regular, but I'm not never going to be like I feel like I'm. I'm just a guy that just did a film and hope you like it. That's it. I'm not trying. You know, some that aura of that whole Hollywood that I'm invincible. I never be that way. I always be approachable.
Wow, that's good. I like that.
I never change that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that's all we have. Any last words as far as like film or any type of advice you would like to give as far as on the comedy tip or on the movie tip?
Well, most definitely. I got a couple of questions, a couple of things I'd like to say. First of all, I'd like you guys to follow me at the whole Burning Problems movement on my Instagram at Derek Ellis, the comedian. Also follow me on Twitter at Funnyware, FUNNYWAR, and Derek Ellis, FW on Facebook. Also, you can my website is DerekEllisFilms.com. I got press on information about Derek Ellis Films and et cetera, the history. And also, I just like to say, you know, it's a new era, you know, now. We got new filmmakers now. Later on, I would like to, I'll be doing seminars where we talk about the process because it ain't as difficult as you think. The first thing that I tell people, which I said was for Bernie's problem was the easiest part for me was, the screenplay, which I call the blueprint. So the thing about it that I tell filmmakers, people that are interested in making films is that you have to first of all have a blueprint. Once you get the blueprint down, then the next move is just calculating. It ain't no problem. As long as you get the script, that's what you got to have, the script to get everything, the ball in motion. So once you can produce that script, you know, see, that's what, I ain't trying to produce a script for somebody else. I do indie film. So my thing is that as long as my script satisfies me, I'm going to make the film. You know what I mean? And I'm a hard critic, too. So, but I'm what you call an indie filmmaker. I make independent films. And now, if studios can buy my film, you know, if it's right, if they're going to treat me right, and if they don't want to buy it, then I can make money off of it myself because I own my mouth. You understand what I mean? Unless the deal is so lucrative, then I got to just give it up because think about it. That's your baby that you created. You just don't want to give it to somebody. You don't know how they're going to treat it. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was an incident where this girl had wrote a sitcom episode. Netflix in 2017 offered her $1 million. She turned it down because she couldn't get no back-end money. So later on, she got a deal from HBO. So I guess she was happy because her show is on HBO now. So you know, I'm this thing about, you know, I'm the pimp, you know. Yeah, I'm the pimp.
All right. Yeah. Okay, Derek. So man, hey, thank you for being on the show, and maybe we'll have you on and to talk separately about the comedy part in your books and book writing because I know that's a feat in itself. I'm in the middle of writing a book right now with editors and coming up with titles and ISBN numbers and all that. So, but I'm looking forward to watching the film, the final piece, whether it's going to be live or digital. And I want to encourage everybody to go out there and go see Derek's film. If you have,
and I'm
going to
tell you
what
it's
going
to be. Yeah, I can get it located. It's going to be. I'm going to show the screening at the Regency West. That's 3339 West 43rd Street. And that's in the Leimert Park District. Historical black businesses in that area. Black owned, you know. That's although this film is everybody can identify whatever culture you're from. But, you know, of course I got to always put my people first, you know. My people
I appreciate that. Do that for sure. All right. I think that's it. And audience, we appreciate you coming on. Audience, please sign in to facebook.com, Scatter Chatter Podcast, to listen to more shows and to get Derek's show if you didn't get it in its entirety. And we're going to probably hopefully have more cast members. If not, just go to, what was it? It was Black Hollywood Events. And get the
Black
tickets,
Hollywood
or you can DM.
Events. www.ticketleap.com.
Right, or you can DM Derek directly. His image is on the cover of the episode, and then you can get information from him to get tickets then. And it's going to be at the Regency West. The tickets are $20, and it's on September the 10th, right?
Yeah, that's a Thursday night. It started at 7 o'clock, the red carpet, and 8 o'clock is the movie showing, first showing
right,
at and 8.
And like you said, to get the best, the premiere with the red carpet treatment, that's the first showing. And they have tickets available now, so go ahead and get them. And that's all I've got. So till next time, audience, we're out.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.